Hello, and welcome to the Woman of the Word Revelatory Points of Power podcast, as taught by the Reverend Dr. Audrey Akins, where we share revelatory concepts and biblical principles that may often inspire, challenge, and stimulate you to see God's Word from a deeper and sometimes different perspective. Now for today's word, here's our instructor, Dr. Audrey Akins.
Good afternoon. We would like to take the opportunity as we conclude our study on Deny, Deny, Deny to bring you a point of power from that study, which is about how we need to get an understanding of what it cost us in our personal lives to be living sacrifices God finds holy and acceptable. Part of the criteria to be that living sacrifice is for us to be transformed, to no longer be conformed to the world's way of thinking and doing things, but to be transformed. How? By the renewing of our minds. When we do that, we can then take control, take the reins of our walk in God, and become that proof that He needs the world to see. We become His infallible proofs, which is what Jesus was. He showed himself to be alive by many infallible proofs. And it's the same way that we in our walk, and even as David walked, have to show ourselves to be that evidence that proves what is God's good, acceptable, and perfect will. So we need to understand that all God has ever required of any of us that have the heart to be or do what it is He requires, is that we resist that being conformed. Resist being what everybody else is, or thinking the way everybody else does, or being reactive the way everybody else is, or being filled with the same fears and the same compunction, you know, that we can't do what it is God called us to do. Because what we need to understand is, when He says, don't be conformed, but be transformed, we don't have to do that transformation. He does that transformation. And when we are transformed, we become that other man or woman that He sees us as being. We don't see that possibility within ourselves because it's in the heart. But God knows the heart. And so He sees what it is that He calls us to be, and then He transforms us to be that exact thing. The only thing that we need to understand is we then have to take control of our mind, because in our mind, that's where the struggle will begin. The struggle begins because we can't grasp hold of spiritual things and ways and thoughts of God easily, because they're higher than us. They're beyond our scope naturally. That's why we can't lean to our own understanding in the things of God when we try to walk in them. So anyway, I would like to give you an example from our study that we did on David, but we're going to back up a little bit and find out why it is David even had to be anointed to take Saul's place when he had been anointed first to be the king of Israel. And that takes us to 1 Samuel, the 9th chapter. We're going to go back 2 years before David was ever anointed by God and learn about Saul. 1 Samuel 9:1 says, now there was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish, the son of Abiel, the son of Zeror, the son of Bechorath, the son of Ahath, a Benjamite, a mighty man of power. And he had a son, one whose name was Saul. He was a choice young man, a goodly young man, and there was none among the children of Israel that was a goodlier person than he, because from his shoulders and upwards, he was higher taller than any of the people of Israel. So it seems he was a man of good report. And goodly, what goodly means is he looked good. He sounded good. He appeared to be good. He had good manners. He was good-hearted. He walked with a stature. He had a bearing. He was respected by the people. He had substance. His father had money. His father had stature. His father had a reputation. And from this, people looked at him and they judged him to be somebody they could look up to. The problem is we don't see anything in here that reflects what his heart was like. However, it was a time in which Israel had demanded that they be given a king like everybody else. They were tired of serving under a theocracy, which was God leading them using his priests and his judges. So they demanded a king. And God finally relented to give his people what they were dying to have. But he didn't do so until he had Samuel prophesy to them. Now, if I do this thing, if I give you a king, these are all the terrible things that he's going to do to you as a people. These are the weights that he's going to put upon you. These are the demands that he's going to put upon you. These are his requirements. These are the faults that he'll have in walking before you, because he's going to be carnal-minded, because he's going to be selfish, because he's going to be high and lifted up. But if this is what you really want, okay, then a king it is you'll have. And so it is that God then directed Samuel that there was someone coming to seek him out, and he was going to be the one that he would place as captain over his people. So we turn now to the 15th verse of 1 Samuel 9, and it says, "Now the Lord had told Samuel in his ear, a day before Saul ever came, saying, 'Tomorrow about this time, I will send you a man out of the land of Benjamin, and you shall anoint him to be captain over my people Israel, that he may save my people out of the hand of the Philistines. For I've looked upon my people because their cry is come unto me.' And when Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said unto him, 'Behold, that's the man I spoke to you of. This same shall reign over my people Israel.'" So from that, we need to understand God sees us. God knows us. God arranges encounters for us to have. He speaks in specificity, you know, about where we come from, what we're doing, where we're going. He already knew that Saul would be out searching for his asses that he thought were lost, and that he was searching to find them, bring them back to his father. So he had arranged for him to be anointed. And Samuel didn't have a problem with it, because the guy looked good and God chose him out and God sent him to him. And God even told him, when you anoint him, I need you to tell him something. He's going to be transformed. He's going to be turned into another man altogether. He's going to prophesy so that when people look at him and talk about him, they'll say, "Isn't he among the prophets?" And so it was that Samuel did as God asked him to. He anointed Saul, and he prophesied to Saul that when he left him, he was going to go and he was going to meet this company of prophets. And the next thing you know, he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is going to come upon you. And when he does, you will begin to prophesy and be numbered among the prophets." Changed, transformed, another man. You will become another man. And what we need to understand is that's exactly what happened. just as he prophesied and just as he'd anointed him to do and just as God had whispered into the man of God's ear would happen, happened. Saul turned into another man, and Saul began to prophesy, and Saul shocked his own self. And so when Samuel then, as led by the Lord, called the people of Israel together and said, "Now God is going to give you what you asked of him." But he did it the way that their system was set up, did it by lots. And, you know, God revealed that it was the family of Saul. And then it was Saul himself that was chosen and revealed to the people. And so the word says when they looked for Saul, they couldn't find him. Even though he'd been turned into this other man, even though he had prophesied, even though the anointing had did exactly what the man of God told him, even though he had experienced the hand of God literally upon his life and able to make him be what it is he never thought he'd be, he was hiding. Hiding from the assignment of God. Hiding from his strategic positioning, hiding from the anointing that had transformed his life to be what it is that Israel required. But yet God revealed where he was, and they brought him forth, and they set him in place, and the people looked and they realized, hey, isn't that Saul that was prophesying among the prophets? Yay, he looks good. He's head and shoulders taller. He's a goodly man. He's everything that we need. Yes, this is our king. But there were people among them, the sons of Belial, that despised him because they felt like, he's not what we really need. And so they brought him no presents. And because they did, Saul felt some kind of way. The people, the majority of the people wanted him to be king. So he yielded to be their king, but he never felt he could come into agreement that he was God's king because all the people didn't come into agreement with it. And so because of that, Saul never got to the point of renewing his mind to be God's king. Instead, he began to revert back to his old ways of leading by feeling, of walking in fear, of lacking faith, of looking good but lacking confidence, of being good-hearted but not perfect-hearted towards God. And so as a result, it was only 2 years later that he found himself disobeying God's will, disobeying the need to wait upon the man of God to come before he would act, disobey him not seeking idols or seeking witches to know what God's will for him. Just disobedient. Why? Because he never renewed his mind to what he'd been transformed to become. And unless we can get to that point of taking the reins of our thoughts, of taking control of our will, of taking control of our baser desires and learn to pull those strongholds down, because that's what they are. All those things form strongholds in our lives that inhibit us from being able to move in those things that God has spoken over our lives or even anointed us to be and what we've even seen coming to pass in our lives. Saul was what God transformed him to be, but never in his mind. And because of that, it limited his spiritual transformation. And when our spiritual transformation is limited, we cannot hold our course in anything spiritually. We will revert to our old ways. We will fail despite anointings upon our lives, because such is the power of an undenied mind. It's not enough to deny ourselves spiritually or in the heart, but we've got to take control of what we think. We've got to learn how to bring into captivity all those thoughts, those vain thoughts, those empty thoughts, those selfish thoughts, those things that the enemy uses, because the greatest battlefield we have in spiritual things is the battlefield of the mind. It is there that the enemy magnifies himself. It is there that he exalts his power. It is there that he makes us feel less than, not enough, insufficient, powerless. It's there that he buffets us. It's there that we have thorns. We feel we have thorns in the flesh. It's there that he'll make us cry out to the Lord for deliverance or to take us out, when God has given us the power to be overcomers in everything, in every area of our lives. All of this is based on one of our base scriptures, which said, I beseech ye, brethren, by the mercies of God, Romans 12:1-2, that you present yourselves, your bodies, a living sacrifice. But when you do it, you got to do it holy and as acceptable unto me, because that's just your reasonable service. And to do that, I require that you not be conformed to this world's ways, but fight it. Fight to be changed. Fight to no change, because your change is going to be challenged. And the only way you can overcome those challenges, which Saul failed to do, is you must renew your minds by coming to know the power of our yielding to God's word in our lives, as David did. He made lots of mistakes. But when you learn to use the key, David did, of making every experience a learning experience, causing it to renew your mind as you go along, you too shall be an overcomer. And you too will know how to encourage yourself in the Lord. That yes, I can. Yes, I can. Because God will. Be blessed.
Well, this concludes today's edition of the Woman of the Word Revelatory Points of Power. But don't despair, just Selah for a moment, for there's yet more to come. In the meantime, if you would like additional information or to contact us, log on to the website at www.DrAudreyAikensMinistries.com. Until next time, we pray that in all you're getting, you get an understanding, so that you too can be empowered and transformed by the renewing of your mind. Thank you and be blessed. This segment is produced by Creative Impact, LLC, with all rights reserved.